All right, everyone, it is Tuesday, December 19th, 2006. Thanksgiving break is over, and welcome to our Christmas in July, even though it's December episode. This is A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, brought to you by A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing. Visit the all-new www.A2Central.com and by JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Check them out at www.juiced.gs. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Aloha, everyone. This is Ryan Suinaga, and you are listening to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, coming to you live from beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii. You can find our website over at www.a2unplugged.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, that address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. If you want to leave a message via voicemail, the number for that is 808-218-2737. Well, there hasn't been a whole lot of news recently, but there has been some news of high quality. As covered previously in A2 Unplugged, Syndicom Online is now completely shut down, but A2Central.com's new site, including message boards and chat, is now up. In particular, the chat rooms are very interesting. You can either telnet to A2Central.com and hang out through their IRC, that's Internet Relay Chat Gateway, or you can use an IRC client directly. For what it's worth, there is an Apple IIgs Marinetti-compatible IRC client known as Samurai from NinjaForce, which can be downloaded from NinjaForce.com. Links in the show notes. I can't give much of an opinion on it because I haven't been able to get it to work yet. On to some listener comments for this episode. We got quite a few bits of email this time, probably because we took such a long break. John wrote in, I think the same John who had the C questions, thanking us for the C episode. No problem, John. Scott wrote in, commenting on the Computers Project, and with some kind words for the podcast. Thank you very much, Scott. Scott also wanted to let everyone know that the first 100 issues of Computer Gaming World are now available in digital format. There's a lot of Apple II content in there, as well as that for other platforms. The link will be, as always, in the show notes. Ed wrote in saying he had done some editing on the first podcast to make it easier to hear. Thanks, Ed, but I'm done with doing anything with that edition of the podcast. And James wrote in, asking if I could comment on an article in Computus number 16, page 9, called Secret Weapon. Well, James, sad to say, my comment is I haven't had a chance yet to read it. I promise to do so before our next podcast. And here's more voicemail from our buddies over at Rodney's.
Yeah, this is Bruno, the Gay Computer Club. We're all here playing with our two apples and the joysticks. We're having more fun than a pot stump here. Heinz even noticed the controllers look like a Schwanzenstocken. His face is just red as ripe roses, let me tell you. Everyone is so happy as they are dancing in Sean Kern and looking at posters of celebrities like Paris Hilton and Steve Wozniak. Come and join the fun. Auf Wiedersehen.
Thanks, guys. Well, at this time, we are going to just go ahead and get into our interview with our special guests. Since this is the longest interview in the history of A2 Unplugged, I'd like to get it all in. So, without further delay, keeping with our Christmas in July theme, let's bring in the guy most responsible for the Apple II Christmas in July, Tony Diaz, noted Apple II hardware guru and historian, and chairperson of the Kansas Fest Committee. I am here today with Tony Diaz, chairperson of the Kansas Fest Committee. This is part of our special Christmas in July episode, and even though it's not July, it's close to Christmas, and July in the Apple II world is all about Kansas Fest. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
All right. Could be better, could be worse.
Okay.
Still here, but...
Still here. Okay. I have been to a bunch of Kansas Fest. I think I've been to 11 total now, and I have a 12th coming up in July. You've been to all of them. What would you tell someone who's totally unfamiliar with Kansas Fest about the event?
Well, I believe it was your .sig used to say something about Kansas Fest being summer camp for geeks. Mm-hmm. And, well, Kansas Fest in. Sometimes we all call it K-Fest, and as the day and the week wear on, they end up saying K-Fest because it's just quicker. I don't know, but it started out as the A2 Central Summer Developer Conference, not to be confused with the current day A2 Central. And like everything else, it's evolved, and in some ways it can be thought of a worldwide user group. You know, looking at people from as far down as Australia, New Zealand, and even from Canada up there where it's nice and cold. I have to say, with a good, it's hard to say how to put this. It's an almost a week-long event that allows people to get together and have fun and share their abilities with each other and learn from each other in a, well, kickback environment. It's fun to push the envelope of the Apple II, and this is the annual motivator that keeps it going. So, besides, it's an incredibly great deal, dollar for dollar. You just simply can't get nearly a week of meals, room, and board, and fun, and no one telling you when to go to bed or be quiet in the halls. I mean, do this in a hotel, we'd all be kicked out by the middle of the first morning, you know. So, for even quadruple the amount of price, it's priceless. It's hard to put a finger on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that completely. Dollar for dollar, it is probably the cheapest, lots of fun event that you can have as far as computers go. What are some of the most fun events that happen in Kansas City every year?
Well, as we know of a popular late night, or maybe early late night, animated series that they keep killing the poor guy named Kenny. Well, we killed Kirk one year with a floppy disk. Now there's, when you see grown-up people eating up paper bags, climbing walls, and just general, you know, things that come up to my head. Let me see. Well, it comes back. Walking across the Avila campus one day and having to look over and seeing a race up the side of the building between Roger Wagner and Paul Zaleski. So you've got the young and the old climbing balcony railings up to the roof of the building. I used to do some crazy stuff when I was that young. I could never envision somebody being that old or doing some crazy stuff, and I would never do that. So, yeah, that was like, what the heck? Then there was the RTC in the elevator.
I remember that.
And somebody decided to plug a phone into that phone jack, and, well, here we are. Next thing, we have a table and a chair in the elevator, and everybody's riding the elevator. Why not? That was back in the modem days. Well, then there was that movie in the giant post-it note, you know. That movie sucked. And we'll leave it up to you having to come to K-Fest to find out what movie that was if you don't know.
Yeah, I was there for that too. Okay, can you name the Kansas Fest which have really stuck out in your mind over the years and why?
Oh boy, that's actually kind of a hard question. You'd think that, you know, there was a notable one like 2003 when, you know, after all these years and how many times the question was probably floated, let's see if we can get Laz to come. And I guess, yeah, well, that one sticks out in, you know, from that aspect. It was completely unexpected when when the question was popped, and we just figured it'd be another answer, and then all of a sudden, what? Wait a minute. Really? But, let's see here. Well, one of them also was the year I agreed to take it on. Mm-hmm. You know, after going to all of them, and, you know, the progression was kind of naturally there. But my biggest thing is I was afraid that I'd not be able to actually enjoy the event, and rather I'd be stuck running it, you know, so to say. But honestly, I can say after 3 years now, 3 years of it, it's kind of worked out quite well. You know, I couldn't have done that without the committee members and even some of the other attendees, not necessarily on the committee, that were pitched in to help. You know, you were one of them, the fabulous cookout. That was another brilliant idea. You know, if you had thought of that years ago, we probably wouldn't have had it, and we probably may not have tried it again because, you know, we have to admit one thing. Early years of K-Fest, it was rain, and more rain, and dodging rain, and we were glad that Evola had the tunnels, but, you know, we haven't needed the tunnels the last few years because we got away with murder on the weather, and especially in 2003. That was like being there in the spring. It was just amazing. But
and nowadays we don't even have the tunnels.
Yeah, nowadays we don't even have them. And, you know, it only rained one. It's typically the last 3 or 4 years it's rained one day. You know, it's usually at night, and it just cools the place off. But the other K-Fest that was probably an interesting standout was, I think it was the last one that we had at Expo combined. There was an Apple IIgs College, so that was 2.5 to 3 days. Then it was the K-Fest itself for another 3 days, and then there was a Apple Central Expo, as opposed to Apple Expo East and Apple Expo West, kind of an Apple Fest rehash revival. But imagine being in KC for 9 days. So you arrive on Monday or Sunday night and leave Tuesday the following week. And the first time we had that meeting, the opening keynote in the giant ramped hall that was at the NAMDA Convention Center, which was across the valley from Avila, was quite, you know, you're like, wow, look, bright lights, stage lights, and, you know, the room was pretty full. And it was, I think it probably held about 150 people. But each K-Fest has got its uniqueness. You know, there's one that was the shortest one, the 2 nights and 3 days. Kind of like, you know, they tell you, they sell you on a cruise. We're going to get you 3 fabulous nights and 2 fabulous days, or actually flip that around, but you know what I mean. It was like, it took some of us longer to get to KC than the event was, so that was unique in itself. But yeah, each one, it's hard to say that each one is any different or better, and we always, you know, the other thing we found out about after 2003 was, well, what are we going to do to top this? And I think we figured out later on that it's not something you have to top, because you can't. It's something that each one is unique.
How important do you think that K-Fest is to the Apple II world now?
At one time, like I said, it was probably the definitive event, akin to the Macintosh Worldwide Developers Conference. And nowadays, it's the only Apple II event left. As far as importance, well, like I said, it's probably a motivator. You know, a lot of things do happen. You know, I'll think back a few years, and you know, Richard Bennett and I, Richard Bennett Forrest today. You know, we looked at each other on the way home 1 year, and said, let's write it now, and demo it next year. You know, well, there's a lot of times that you might find, let's write it now on the first day, and let's demo it on the last day. And that kind of evolved, you know, that kind of evolved into Hackfest, and it's certainly not the only Apple II event, and it's certainly not the only thing. You know, there's probably many more Apple II users out there that don't even know that CompSys Apple II or A2 Central or Syndicom had existed, even in this far, you know, this far along. So it's hard to say, but I do think it's probably, you know, I won't call it the guiding light and the guiding force, but it's certainly a motivator at this point still.
I would agree. What do you think someone who's new to the event would find surprising at a K-Fest?
Let's see. I'd have to say right off the bat, the sheer amount of energy emitted in just half a week. It's, you know, in the early days it was nonstop practically, but, you know, it's nearly nonstop today. You know, I'll admit, in the early years we were all up until 4 and 5 a.m., sometimes 48 hours straight. You know, it was generally taken that those people who drove and didn't just fly in and fly out were probably going to go stay at a hotel in Kansas City, if not the day after we leave, maybe even the next day before they attempt to drive back on a freeway for a long time. You know, it's not really just a computer conference. It's rather a big get-together that starts early in the morning, well, for some anyway, and lasts late into the night. And besides, you haven't really seen anything until you hear karaoke and guitars. and even, you know, you might even not even have to go out to see a really bad movie. And you never let the heart of that bad movie forget about it. So it's a gathering of, you know, like I mentioned also earlier, just, you know, gives everybody a chance to show what they can do and, you know, and take back from others.
Okay, since you've been to all of them, are there any folks you haven't seen for a while you wish you'd see come to K-Fest again?
Well, yeah, in the early days we used to have some 300-plus. Yes, there's a lot of folks. It's really hard to put, you know, to name particular names. You know, some folks out there can't be with us any longer. And others have moved on, but... You know, I think it'd be really nice to have a resurgence at some point again. You know, I think 2003 was kind of a resurgence. You know, bring in 50 or 60 people. I'm probably ready for it now after 3 years at the helm, but I certainly, you know, I was kind of glad the first year I took it over. It was a little lesser because I don't know if I would have been able to deal with it. You know, just getting 40 name tags ready and stapled and whatnot. And it was... I got it down to a science now, but as far as, you know, folks that haven't been there for a while, some of the early people, you know, a lot of the people that attended early on were, you have to admit it, they're strictly there for business, you know. And after a while, when the market started to dry up, there was no more justification for them to come. And they were probably magnets, but every once in a while, someone will make a reappearance and go, wow, look what I missed. You know, it seems like if all the activity on the KFS mail list from last August and September has anything to say about it, you know, maybe they'll be kind of looking for beer and pretzels all night long one time again. Who knows, you know. Yeah, there was a few years back when they had beer bottles all over the hallway, and I'm glad I had nothing to do with it then. So. Yeah, we've all kind of mellowed out and gotten on and things, but yeah, no, it's hard kind of to put a finger on any particular one. Yeah, there was a lot of people out there that were notables versus also the ones, you know, K-Fest is not K-Fest without every single person that comes and supports it, so it's really hard to just, you know, put a finger on anybody.
Okay. How did the committee come up with the choice for this year's keynote speaker? And for those who aren't aware of who he is, maybe you can talk about him a little bit.
Okay. You know, that's one thing I fumbled on my notes here. I don't have my press release out. However, in general, I am generally a believer in that things worked out for the best in the end if you just let them take their course. And if it was meant to be, it usually will happen without too many hoops to go through. And I'm unsure of the pronunciation of the name here, so please forgive me if I murder it. I believe the pronunciation should probably be something like Mr. Zatella. Anyhow, he was recommended to us when we were looking for candidates, and... we had about four or five names, and one by one, some of the people we'd asked in years past, you know, we're a small group. We're not a major core draw anymore. Most of these people do this, any professional speaking anymore, for a fee, and we're not really set up for it. You know, back in the days when Kansas Fest was run by A2 Central and it was a money-making event, there was room for all that, and these days we're... pretty much when the summer's over, the funds have been used and we're ready to do it again next year starting out. So we were, we've always been thought, you know, how are we going to get anybody? What carrots do we have? And, you know, other than the fact that we're just a, you know, fun, close-knit, that, you know, group. And Mr. Zatella accepted and we're gracious for it. Let's see here. What do we have here? Let's see. Now I'm going to be... okay. And for those who are not aware, he began his career as the VP of Operations at Minecraft, which is the publisher of Nibble Magazine. And even today, most everybody knows what Nibble Magazine is. Well, it was the premier programming-related technical magazine. You know, there was a Big Plus Insider, as it later became. Green's Apple Magazine Insider was the initial version of that, and Soft Talk and all the magazines from back in the early 80s, and the Nibble Magazine was one of the early ones as well. And Nibble, I believe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Nibble was probably one of the longest running publications.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, they ran from thick glued back spine to into the era where the staples came back out. I think they went back to glue, from black glue and staples. Just when you have, depending on how your publishing running your magazine is how it's going to get built and sent out. And they ended up down the towards the end there as a small stapled newsprint type thing. And yet every issue of Nibble was still pretty much the same spirit from day one. And David Sotelo was the first person to hold the editor position for Nibble Magazine. And after that, he worked with Apple Computer for 7 years, managing Apple's evangelism department. And the evangelists are the people who go out and push the platforms, push the, get developers on board. You know, what kind of things do you need to see? What can we do to get you to put your product on our platform? That kind of thing. And as well as the Worldwide Developer Conference series, which is still ongoing for the Macintosh. That's kind of the evangelist role there. Developer University, get courses, information from Apple. Kind of very similar to the Apple IIGS college that Apple used to put on at CAFE Fest. I think that went for 4 years. Let's see what else we just got here. His Apple career also included 3 years at Apple's European headquarters, and he's now founder and president of Clix Marketing, which is an internet marketing agency that specializes in managing a client's paid search engine, search advertising campaigns. So he's got a little bit of, history and being editor of Apple, being editor of Nibble Magazine. He's probably got a lot of nostalgic input towards the beginnings of the Apple II platform, working with Apple mid-range there. He's probably at Apple about the time that the Apple II started to get the boot from Apple, so to say. And, we'll see where it takes us. It should be exciting. We probably haven't had a keynote speaker of this caliber. Everybody's pretty much been from inside, except for Woz. Everybody's been from inside the community, so this ought to be something different for us. I hope he enjoys it, and we're gracious to have him.
That's pretty interesting. I didn't know anything about his involvement with Apple itself. I knew he had been the editor of Nibble, but I didn't know what his career was after that. So that can be pretty enlightening, I think.
Yes, it seems like kind of a natural progression, at least for that niche of work there. I went from the magazine to the mothership, and then the world changed around it, and so everybody else, here comes this thing called the internet, and and there we have it.
Okay. What would you like to see happen with the event, and what do you think the future holds for Kansas Fest?
So, let's see here. It's kind of a hard question by all rights. We've pushed the envelope farther than anyone would have imagined. When I talk to people, I say, what? You're still meeting at Kansas City? That's a common reaction I've gotten over the years. Even a few people I know that have come 91, 92. And, and a couple of people I still talk to, sometimes daily, weekly, and every once in a while it comes up and he goes, "You're still going there?" And he'll ask me, one guy in particular will always ask me, "You want to go to Comic-Con in San Diego?" He likes to come down here. San Diego Comic-Con is always the same weekend and I'm going to be gone on the trek to KC and back. And he goes, "Oh, that's right. You're still going there, by all rights, I don't think anything's lasted this long, but, so, you know, just from my take, part of the K-Fest thing is not just the event, but getting there. And I think that probably at least a good half, maybe everybody in some way, you know, just the adventure of getting there. I mean, you and your airplane and airport stories and, you know, your trail of phones across the country here, yeah. you know, everybody's got it, but, you know, I call it the K-Fest adventure, the K-Fest expedition, and sometimes it seems like it because of the price of airplane gas makes me think I'm driving a big SUV. But, yeah, half of K-Fest for me and probably for most everybody is, you know, getting there and back. As far as what the future holds, I'd certainly like to see, you know, the 20th K-Fest roll around. You know, if you get that far, you might as well do another one. And if you do another one, you might as well do another one, you know. See what happens, you know. Am I going to do this for the next several years? Well, I'm sure maybe everybody else that's been at the helm before me has thought, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? I'm not saying I'm ready to bail or anything anytime soon, but, you know, it's been fun. I don't see it changing. The only thing I miss in the summer is ever since I learned to fly, I said, well, I'd like to go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is the equivalent for general aviation as we are for the Apple II, and it's usually the week after. And this year, I darn near almost went, but it just wasn't going to work out. But at least as long as I fly an airplane to KC, it's only a half a day to 3 hours away as opposed to another 2 days in the car. So, mm-hmm. Like I said, only the future can tell what the future holds. And we won't know that till we get there.
Yeah. Okay. Any last thoughts, Tony?
Well, the last thoughts is probably the best. You know, and again, I was thinking, you know, the last thought, well, there is the last K-Fest, you know. Almost every time I've left Kansas City, I've always thought to myself, as I'm the last one to drive out of the parking lot, that this feels like it's going to be the last year. And I have to say that this last year, 2006, when I left, I actually did not even have that feeling. And I kind of really didn't last year, too. And it actually felt, you know, the year we were, you know, 2004, for real, you know, some last thoughts here otherwise, panic-wise, in 2004, in September 2004, as I'm stuck in traffic on the way to the dentist, you know, talk about double trouble there, I get this call from Avila, and they're calling me, and I'm like, I recognize the phone number on the caller ID, and why are they calling me? You know, like, I'm sure they're not going to have a contract out this early. Heck, we never get the thing until March or April, you know. And they said, oh, no, we're, you know, we'd already signed for next year tentatively, and they called to tell me that regrets informed me that we're not going to host any summer events anymore because our poor little campus is pretty much overused and we don't have any downtime to take care of stuff and whatnot. And I had to sit on that for 2.5 or 3 months. And I think I told one or two people only, just enough to get the ball rolling. And I thought to myself for the next several hours, wait a minute, this can't possibly be the only university. You know, so I started Googling, you know, summer conference, university, et cetera, and surely there's got to be many other schools in Kansas City. I mean, what are we going to do? Are y'all going to go someplace else? And we had some other ideas, and we narrowed it down to two, and that was the one was basically Rockhurst and University of Missouri, I believe, which was about 40 miles out on the Missouri side, and it wasn't close to a freeway either. So that made, even though Avila kind of was, you know, we were spoiled in one way that you could just drive right around the outer loop there and get to Avila. Some people shot right down the middle of the city, but, you know, we were 35 miles from the airport. Now we're probably 11 or 12, and you have to shoot down the middle of the city. But, you know, and that's another thing right there, too, in the K-Fan spirit, you know. There's a closer Sweet Tomatoes, there's a closer Costco, there's a closer Krispy Kreme, what do we do, and a closer movie, and what do? We end up out there on 135th Street anyway.
Yeah, there's a certain magnetism about Avila after all these years. We still can't get away from it, even if you get away from it. You still keep going to it. I'm certainly guilty of that myself.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said earlier, you know, the Rockhurst thing worked out. And that's like I said earlier, because, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And, you know, didn't have to go through that many hoops. And it started falling together. And, it, you know, they told us, yeah, the end of August. And I was worried because, you know, we weren't the only ones. And Avila was pretty busy the last few years. And it was, you know, 2001 or 2002, we were the only ones there. Everybody else canceled their bookings. And then in 2003, it was kind of half. In 2004, it was jammed. And they think they had gotten a new board of directors and decided we don't want to do this anymore. But I was in a panic, like, okay, everybody, every soccer camp and cheerleader camp and whatever was going to go run and find every other available college and university or whatever. And it worked out. You know, Rockhurst said, oh, you know, we're end of August is great. Nobody's got it. Everybody's done before then. And we'll be happy to have you. And, you know, none of us knew what we were getting into. You know, I'll admit, when I first got off the freeway and ventured into center town, and wow, where in the heck are we going? And it was mentioned to me that the neighborhood around the area was, well, wasn't the best. You know, we were kind of used to the area around Avila. It worked out. You know, it's not been a trouble for anybody. And, you know, especially when the Rockhurst folks programmed our cards and let us drive into the gate, you know, made everybody feel a little happier. Generally worked out. And I said, we fulfilled it. I don't think anybody went away unhappy, and that was the goal. And I think we'll be able to continue doing it.
Mm-hmm. I certainly but hope in, so.
You know, in general, you know, to answer your other question also about, you know, what would I like to tell others, K-Fest is really hard for me to describe, to just describe it outright. I've never really been a great marketer. You know, at this point, I'd like to invite anybody else that's been to K-Fest, you know, write up something. We'll post it on the K-Fest website, you know, so others can read it and get an idea, and then they can put K-Fest on their calendar for 2007.
And I would also encourage everyone to show up in Kansas City. If you haven't before, great. If you have before, we'd love to see you again. We really do have a really nice time when we're up there. And I was just thinking that, you know, if we haven't gotten there yet, we're probably getting to the point where the event has gone on longer than the production of the Apple II itself.
Yeah, I mean, if we haven't gotten there yet, we're probably, that might be a piece of trivia to look up, because we're probably sitting on that threshold right now.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that until we were talking about it earlier.
76 to
93.
76 to 92 or 93, early 93, and, you know, a little side tidbit there is a little core group of past K-Fest attendees were actually the first ones to find out that Apple was officially canning the last stand on the Apple II line, the 2GS. You know, we went to a meeting that they kept blowing off in November of 2002 and finally hammered them on a date. And then I told the rest of the constituents, I said, hey, that's Comdex. That's right in the middle of Comdex. Those people can't be serious. They're not going to meet with us at Comdex. They're all going to be in Las Vegas. And Comdex was the annual giant computer show. And there's no way they're going to be there. And it sounded like, you know, most of us got on Southwest Airlines and everybody met in San Jose. And we weren't even sure we were going to have a meeting until that morning when we managed to trick somebody in there answering the phone. But we were there and we found out. And, you know, that's a whole other, and that's another thing that K-Fest is kind of special for. The conversation that goes on in the hallways at night. And you hear stories like you hear the rest of this story and many others. You know, how you found the copy, how one of us has the source code, the copy 2 plus, and the vendor doesn't even have it. Things like that. All kinds of fun stuff. It's just worth coming.
Okay.
You know, if you can't make it every year, every other year, every whatever, to try to make it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Tony, for spending some time with us tonight. And I'm sure I'll talk to you before then, but I definitely will see you in July.
Yep. Social worker by day and K-Fester by July. You'll be there.
I'll be there, and I'm sure you will be too. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Oh, yes. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, bye. I'd like to invite people who have an interest in Kansas Fest to check out their worldwide website at www.kfest.org. I'd also like to thank everyone for listening, and I am hoping for even more great listener comments and voicemail. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the all-new A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing, for helping to bring this podcast to you
please visit them on the web at www.a2central.com and JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Check them out at www.juice.gs. And of course, I would like to thank all of you for listening in, for helping to make this premier year of A2 Unplugged such a success. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again in the new year. Until then, remember, our email address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. Our website is at www.a2unplugged.com. And our voicemail hotline is 808-218-2737. Ma lama pono, ahui ho, mele kaliki maka, everyone. Thanks for listening. Good night, and we will see you in 2007.